it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Hey.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show, T-Bill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the producer that runs the place. T-Mill, Tyler Milner, in the building. The latest is we are live here. Buffalo Wild Wings Thirsty Thursdays, as we do each and every Thursday. And we are here hanging out, celebrating with you, and getting ready for a big Thursday night football game. Washington traveling to Green Bay traveling to Washington. We will get you the latest on that. I think it's the other way around.
I think it's in Green Bay. Yeah, because Green Bay, yeah, look, the bleachers behind it. Yeah.
Washington at Green Bay. We'll get thoughts on that coming up here in a little bit. Oh, I thought you were about to say something.
Well, no, the only reason I knew that is because I think their first two games are at home, and they play six straight on the road after that, I think. Green Bay does.
Really? Six straight?
Mm-hmm. One of those is in Dallas.
Okay, look at that.
Something six, like that. Like they like it's the number. The number. They two
that.
At home and then six includes a bye week. But I think 6 weeks they're away from home, something along those lines. It's such so I know they're at home this week.
Yeah. So, but we'll get you ready for that. Come on out here, get you some something cold to drink, good beer, good drink, good food right here, Buffalo Wild Wings. We're located here right off Tomball Parkway, on the other side of the highway of Willowbrook Mall. That's how you can find us. And come on out, and we still got room. People are starting to pack this thing out. If you just arrived, you still got a chance coming up after this segment to win a cooler, a Bud Light cooler. All you got to do, put your name in our raffle box, and you have a chance to be a winner. All right, Clint, let's start here with the Astros. As we were watching them here earlier today, they were looking to attempt to win this series on the road against one of the other really good teams in the American League, the Toronto Blue Jays. And that didn't happen, and it was never close. Toronto scored two runs in the first inning off some bad defensive baseball. Sanchez, Javier and Christian Walker at first base had plays that should have been outs that ultimately led to two runs, and they end up losing 6-0. Kevin Gausman, the story here for the Blue Jays, he goes 100 pitches. In a 6-0 shutout, gave up two hits, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, as they go ahead and take care of business, win this series. They beat the Astros. The Astros' lead over the Mariners right now is at a half game. If the Mariners are able to beat the Angels tonight and win their 6th straight, Clint, they're surging again in the second half. If they win their 6th straight, they will pull into a tie with the Astros in the AL West. So this has been a tough roll. And really, to be honest, Clint, this second half has been a tough roll for the Astros, and they are just hanging on. And they may not be in first place when we come to roll and do the show tomorrow on Friday.
Yeah, look, it's coming down to the wire. They've made this thing the last, what is that? It's going to give you last month. 20 games, 18 games, something like that.
Yeah,
it's going to be this thing's tight, man. It's going to be a nail biter all the way down. You got head to head matchups. You got luckily the Astros. Now you look at it and you're real thankful that you got the A's and the Angels to round this thing out the last handful of games. So if you need to make up ground, you can do it, or at least attempt to do it against the lesser teams in the division. But yeah, they've made this thing interesting for damn sure.
Well, yeah, and you know they've got coming 6 games against Texas and against Seattle. That's a 6-game stretch, which clearly is going to be the biggest 6 games of the season for the Astros and may end up being their season, Clint. I think the hope was you'd have a bit of a cushion going into those games, and as you've said all second half, just don't get swept. and that might be the thing. But now this thing may be tighter. Hell, the way things are rolling, you might be trailing in the division if it comes down to that. Also today, Lance McCullers, he got in again as well. He gave up one run, but struggled there in his two innings. He gave up. He was on the mound for the final two runs that got scored by the Blue Jays to make it from 4-0, 6-0. Christian Javier, he went six innings, four earned runs. Really, it felt like two earned runs, but four earned runs. He struggled a bit there early. You were hopeful that he'd have a better outing, but he's going to continue to pitch in this thing. When you look at the injuries, I don't know if that's the same for Lance. Lance has clearly been moved into the game is out of hand one way or another, and that's when you get time in, and that is a tough thing to swallow, Clint, when he's making as much money as he's making and what you were hopeful that he would be coming into this year.
Yeah, look, the Lance thing is a conversation that needs to live by itself. This thing is wild, man, I hope that he came back and was lights out. Probably a little unfair expectation, a little unfair hope. But, I mean, I thought that there was no way he wouldn't come back and at least be able to help this team in some capacity, chew up innings throughout the regular season. And he's already been moved to the damn bullpen and can't do anything there. So this is wild how bad it is.
He's deep in the bullpen.
Yeah, it's wild how bad it is for Lance right now. But when you look at the Astros today, I think that obviously the Jason Alexander, Christian Javier today, you know, you got one guy that's got electric stuff that's been there before, and you got another guy that just seems, I said it earlier, I think he's got a real grinky type vibe to his style of pitching. And so it's not overpowering. It's not one of those you look at and you go, man, this is some electric stuff. But the sample size is getting bigger and bigger and bigger of being able to put the team in a spot to win a game. And so does Jason Alexander become that guy that gets a third starter in the rotation when it comes crunch time? Or is Christian Javier the guy can rebound and make that happen?
Yeah, to go along with that, man, it's really disappointing. You go and face a Kevin Gausman who will be a pitcher in the postseason, and you rack up two hits, and you don't score. No extra base hits. They had one time where they had any kind of trouble, and that was runners on first and third, one out, and they got out of that. So Astros, they will now head to Atlanta to face the Braves in a weekend series, and they got to get it going here soon.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans, their injury report is out, and it's official, Clint. And also, I'll share some news with the Bucks too here in a bit. But let's look at the Texans here, and they've got five guys here on the injured list. Let's start with the guys who did not practice today. Did not practice Jake Andrews. Not a surprise with that high ankle sprain. And then Braxton Berrios and Christian Kirk, who both missed the game on Sunday against the Rams. They also didn't practice with the hamstring issues, so we'll see. They do have till Monday. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And then Blake Fisher, he was a full participant with his ankle situation. And then Ed Ingram, that's the one. He is limited with the abdomen. He did not play in the game on Sunday, and that seemed to cause a major shift in the offensive line. That, to me, clearly, Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, obviously, but it is good to see that Ed Ingram, even in a limited role, was out there on the practice field.
Absolutely. Again, before the season started, when training camp, last couple of weeks of training camp, it was one of those for me where Ed Ingram was the key to unlocking, let's call it legitimately, the best five offensive linemen for this team, and I still think that's the case. If Ed Ingram's healthy, hell, I think even if Ed Ingram's not healthy, Juice Scruggs should start at right guard. But Ed Ingram is clearly the guy that they leaned into, the guy that they liked the most, that right guard position. So if he's healthy, I think that would be an upgrade, which would move Titus Howard back to tackle, free him up. And so I think it puts the offensive line for the Texans in a spot where they can be a better version of themselves if Ed's healthy, for sure.
Man, I'm with you, though, what you said to begin with. Hell, I just want to see it. I want to see what the plan was, right? Obviously, the plan changed a couple of times, but clearly going into it, they wanted to go Ursary at left tackle and then Tomlinson. Now, we won't get to see Andrews, but Andrews, and Ed Ingram with Titus on the outside. I just want to see what that looks like.
Well, I think, and I know you're talking big picture of the whole offensive line, but I think when you narrow it down to the right guard position, I think Titus Howard does an admirable job down there. But it's clear when you watch Titus Howard play, and it's always been this way, but when you watch him play, like, there's just not the ability. And I don't know if it's skill or if it's how he's been developed and when he was as a tackle, but like the ability to get the necessary pad level and play with the necessary pad level consistently at the guard position, it's almost impossible for Titus Howard. And to get a guard in there that's built the right way, that has played the game as a guard, that simply can put himself in a better position to move mass, can put himself in a better position to run block or pass block for that matter. He's just better suited versus those interior guys. I think that is the best. I just can't believe that the best route for the Texans out of the gate is to play a tackle at guard, which I know they had to because of the injury, but I just can't believe that that's where they land longer term at this point.
You would hope not. On the other side, Clint, some interesting names showing up, and we talked to J.C. Allen, who covers the Bucks for Sports Illustrated earlier. He talked about Tristan Wirfs, who's one of the best left tackles in football. He has been injured. He was a limited participant in practice today, Clint, with that knee issue. He didn't play in the first game. We'll see if he's ready to go. Hell, even if he's hampered, you know, that bodes well. Obviously, if he's out, that's big time, but that even bodes well there. Hassan Reddick, who they signed in the offseason, their outside pass rusher, that's important. He's got a foot. He was limited in practice. And then Chris Godwin. They had him listed as doubtful, but he was limited in practice today as well. So those are the three key names and their designations for the game. But Tristan Wirfs is obviously a huge one there if the Texans are able to avoid having to go against him.
Yeah, and J.C. Allen mentioned the other tackle, the right tackle that he mentioned, having some kind of foot issue. So the tackles for the Texans, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, seem to be, if healthy, really good. But one of them definitely questionable. The other one hobbled. So that could be a huge plus for Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
Yeah.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we are here on a Thirsty Thursday, this game will be going on here in just a bit. You can watch it on all the TVs here at Buffalo Wild Wings. That is the Washington Commanders. They will be on the road to take on the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. Stay tuned a little bit later on in the show in the final segment, T-Mill's Best Bets. I am certain this game is going to be flooded in T-Mill's Best Bets. But this is a big one in the NFC, Clint, and I'd say teams that, you know, the last couple of years were in the same conversation and ballpark of the Texans, but this could be the game to let you know who is right behind the Eagles in the NFC. A lot of firepower in this game. This is going to be a really, really interesting one tonight. The Packers may have been the most impressive team in Week 1, and Washington was kind of the darling pick coming into the season.
Yeah, look, when it comes to – I'll couch this a certain way because obviously Jalen Hurts and Matt Stafford are two Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks that are in this conversation. But I'll argue that these two guys right here by mid-year can be the two most feared quarterbacks in the NFC. These two guys, right? When it comes to, hey, man, how do you game plan for this cat? Jaden Daniels is already there.
I was going to say, I think Jaden may be
there. I mean, he's there. But you know, and I think Jordan Love is right there, right on the cusp. And so, not only the two teams are two top contenders, but the two quarterbacks are – and I think they're both real. They've got the supporting cast, second year in the system, third year in the system for these guys. And they got the supporting cast. They got the targets. They've got a defenses that can play. They got their offensive coordinator back. And so – yeah, I think these two teams here are real.
Yeah, man. They
I like the under tonight.
Do you?
That
Packers defense, that's the game changer here because they make up for some of the issues and we'll see a very much like, you know, Josh Allen when he was young, like the Jordan Love's got the turnover problem. If he can solve not putting the ball in harm's way, we watched him last year in a game where C.J. Stroud threw for 86 yards. It shouldn't have been that close, but he had several turnovers in the game because he is going for it, Jack. I mean, he is going for it, and that defense allows him a little bit more margin for error when he goes to be aggressive. They're probably even pushing, go be aggressive, because they get up two scores like they did on Detroit. That was Detroit. I mean, they still got Amon-Ra St. Brown. They got Jameson Williams. They've got Jahmyr Gibbs. He caught 10 balls for like 36 yards in the game. Montgomery, and they just absolutely shut them down.
Yeah.
Really. So that defense.
A hell of a game out of the gate for them, no doubt.
The defense is the different part there. All right. Coming up as we continue right here live, we'll react to C.J. Stroud. C.J. spoke a little bit ago. We'll react to what he had to say, a lot in there, specifically on what he thinks they need to do to help this offense. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, shout out to everybody. Make some noise in here, man. It's been a good time. There we go. Thirsty Thursdays. That lady is, she is ready, baby. She just knocked down. That's the second time I've seen you knock one down.
New lady.
There we go. We got some people out here ready to make some bad decisions. Shout out to the Bud Light girls as they are they're hooking folks up throughout. The good folks here at Buffalo Wild Wings as well. It is a good time being had out here. Congratulations to our latest winner. And remember, guys, as Clint said a little bit earlier, come on out with us tomorrow, Football Friday, as we will be in Katy at BB's. Come on out, hang out with us, 406 West Grand Parkway in Katy. Come hang out with us tomorrow at BB's. It'll be a good time had on a Football Friday. And just like here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Thursday Thursdays, we do not come empty-handed. All right, if you missed it, around 4:40 or so, we heard from C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, as he spoke to the media getting ready for that Monday night game against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, Clint, there was a lot being said there. What – and I know some things did. Many people were texting in as well. I know there were things that stuck out to you. What were some of those things that stuck out to you from C.J. Stroud earlier?
Well, look, I think C.J. is you know, I think C.J. struggles with the script, if you know what I mean. And I think there's an obvious script to protect Nick Caley. There's an obvious message in the building of hey man, you know, Nick Caley, we can't even evaluate Nick Caley unless we stay in second, third, and short the whole game.
The right? Lollygagging.
And so I just think CJ, which most people do struggle with that, right? The bull jab part of it. I think if you really listen closely, which I did to CJ, I think there was a couple of times in there. One time he just flat out said, "We had the football with a chance to win the game, should have won the game, and we played bad football." And that's really what I think CJ ultimately wants to say is, "Look, we played like crap. Me, the OC, the O-line, everybody played like crap, and we still had a shot to win right there at the end," which is exactly what I would like to hear, which is, I mean, that is the truth. I mean, as you played, and I'm talking the OC all the way down, everybody that was out there, with the exception of maybe Nick Chubb and maybe Cade Stover, maybe Jake Andrews and Lakin Tomlinson. I mean, those guys, I think, probably played better than first week play. Everybody else is like, damn, I needed to play more in the preseason kind of deal, right? And so I think CJ really wanted to say that, and I think at points, if you really read between the lines, he did. And the obvious effort to protect Nick Caley is an interesting one to me, from him and D'Amico Ryans.
To the point you're talking about, he said that the Texans need to do a better job of helping Kells, as he calls him. He said they need to keep themselves out of second and third and long situations to help out Caley.
Sure.
You know, what can you call, as he said, second and 13 and third and whatever. He said that was a big thing, is to me, it sounds like that's been talked about in the which I agree with. They gotta stop shooting themselves in the foot in early downs.
Yeah. I mean, the penalties are inexcusable. The pre-snap penalties in particular, inexcusable. The sacks, whether it's coming because you misidentify a pressure or your O-line misses it or your quarterback misses it, he doesn't push up in the pocket or whatever, you know, those are really hard to overcome. And the Rams' defense is a pretty damn good defense. And so there's no doubt that I don't think that anything DeMeco said or anything that CJ said is not very, very true. It's just there seems to be some sugarcoating going on. You know, it seems to be some protecting going on. And that's fine. I mean, I wouldn't expect the team to do anything else is protect their guys. But
he plays. But obviously, we all know Nick Caley has a hand in them getting them, you know, having better success on the early downs.
Yeah, look, I think he addressed two things other than that. You know, that I think are actually on the field stuff. He's got to play better in the pocket. That I keep going back to that sack that he took when Jake Andrews got turned sideways. I mean, Jake is doing everything that you ask an offensive lineman to do. They all get beat from time to time. They all get beat. Hell, they get beat quite a bit, if you're being honest. But if they stay attached and give the quarterback somewhere to push, then you still win. That's a win for that particular offensive lineman. And Jake did that, and CJ didn't ultimately reward him for it. And so I think, you know, those kind of things CJ's got to be better at. And he knows it. We've heard DeMeco talk about it. We've heard him talk about it. I think pointing those things out are really important. And then, you know, he spoke of his experience with Jarrett Patterson. And I do think that's a big plus. To have a center you can plug in that he's already got a ton of game reps with, that's worth its weight in gold, man. The communication piece, the snap piece, whether it's a gun or underneath the center, that all typically is a tough – that's tough to manage if you got a true backup center that you've not played much football with. He's played a ton of football with Jarrett Patterson, so that center move is important, but it should be seamless.
Yeah, one of the other things that stood out to me, Clint, is if you want to hear it in full, 440, he talked about, and the media asked him a question about your, you know, the noise that's surrounding this team, the noise that's surrounding not just this team, but him. We talked about a little bit on the crosstalk yesterday on In the Loop that you're hearing it really for the first time with him from, I think, people in the fan base. And he's hearing it, and he spoke about it and expressed that it wasn't a big deal. But you can tell he is at least hearing it. You can tell that it is something that he is aware of.
Oh, I think he's more than aware. I think he struggles with it. If I'm being completely honest.
He struggles with
it? I mean, he asked a question.
With it affecting him on an everyday basis?
I mean, just being in the spotlight and the negativity, I think he's by nature a really good dude that he's a people pleaser that wants to – you hear it. And this, I'm not dogging him. This is a real quality. He wants to be your buddy. He wants to pray for you. He wants things to go good. And therefore, when they go bad, which I don't think – look, he's always been a highly rated quarterback and played with great football teams. I don't think he's handled a ton of sports adversity in his time. I know he's had some things in his personal life that are adversity, but the sports adversity side of things, I think he's probably landed on the safer side of that. So this will be interesting to kind of see him navigate, you know, from whether it's the kind of person that he is or it's the fact that he hasn't handled a lot of sports adversity in his time, to see him navigate some of this when – because I do think it's a third year, man. Rubber's meeting the road where – you're going to establish yourself as a $65 million a year guy, the face of a franchise, or folks are going to doubt that, right? And so I do think these are some it's some interesting times for CJ Stroud.
Well, all of it's coming together.
I think he hears it. I think it does bother him. I think he does feel it. And the key here is if you play well, you ain't got to worry about it.
I was going to say it's all coming together where. Hey, that the time is getting near where his contract, his ability to take care of him, and that also was meeting with the expectations of winning. And I think a lot of people are starting to understand it's going to get harder to put things around him.
Yeah.
The more money he makes.
Well, you know,
and I think that all of that is coming to a head with that. Because DeMeco said it too, there's no pressure on CJ, just go out and play. I think obviously maybe that is starting to come about more.
Well, you know, look, some of the hardest part of dealing with the media or fans or critics of any kind when you're not playing well is that, I mean, those are the most locked in times that you are, right? I mean, you're doing everything you possibly can to block it all out and play well, and the whole time you're constantly reminded of it. And so that's why it's so hard, is that it's not more important to anybody out there that's talking than it is to you, and it's a constant reminder, and all you want to do is play well. And so it's a tough balance to deal with it, get beyond it, as well as block out what folks are saying. It's tough to be there, man. We'll see how well he handles it.
Yeah. I think to me, in the press conference, said the right things and went about it the right way. We'll just now start to see kind of things on the field. All right, as we continue here, live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, right across the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come hang out with us as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. TVs rolling all over the place, so you got time to hang out here on a Thursday night and to have a good time. As we continue right here, a big part of maybe this game coming up, and after talking to J.C. Allen, the guy who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this could be a bigger thing, not for the Texans offense, but for the Texans defense. Let's see how they adjust to something that maybe gave them some problems in the last game. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live. Shout out to everybody who came out. You guys have been fantastic, as always, on this Thirsty Thursday here. Shout out to the great staff here at Buffalo Wild Wings. I see you, Scarlett, doing her thing, taking care of us, as they always do. There you go. Clap it up for Scarlett. Yeah, there she is. As everybody with Bud Light, who have been here, helped put this together as well. Our promo staff, Osita, he's done a fantastic job. Clap it up for Osita. All right, he's got the pipes. Makes me have to do less work. And our engineer, Matt, who keeps us on the station and on the air as well as on YouTube and Twitch. Shout out to Matt, as he always does a great job as well. And then Tyler Milner holding it down. Back at the station and keeping us going as well. Again, tomorrow, you can hang out with us again, Football Friday, as we get you ready for the weekend of football and still getting you ready for that Monday night battle for the Texans as they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will be in Katy tomorrow. BBs, come hang out with us, 406 West Grand Parkway in Katy. BBs. 2 o'clock we'll start, and we will not be empty-handed. You can win some tickets to the Texans and much, much more. So come hang out with us tomorrow. As somebody is yelling at me, I ain't got what he's saying, but it sounded beautiful, I'm sure. all right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access with the fellas as they will hold things down. They will have John McClain, the Hall of Famer, the general, with them, and then Thursday Night Football. They'll only be on for an hour. Thursday Night Football will follow Washington at Green Bay. All right, as we continue, before we get to T-Mill's best bets coming up in a bit, Clint, I know for you, you're looking at this for the Texans. A lot of it has been about the offense side of the ball, and that is fair. The defense gave up 14 points, came up with a turnover, and put them in position to try to come back and win and steal that game against the Rams. But they did a great job, and you'll take that every time you get. You'll press the button for 14 points against an offense like that. Really damn near against anybody. But it wasn't perfect. There were some things, Clint, that you can look at that you would think D'Amico and Matt Burke will really have to adjust to.
Yeah, look, I think there's just one obvious adjustment that they can make defensively that'll even make this defense better. And it's a problem that we knew existed. You know, you just hope that it goes away. You hope that it gets better in an offseason. And it's just – I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a personnel. It's an ability that Jalen Petrie just doesn't have. He's just not going to be able to cover in man-to-man situations. And so – you know, I think the three safety system with and I'm called Jalen Petrie a safety, with Jalen Petrie and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Bullock in the game, is you've got the ability to be super multiple and do a million different things. Now, I don't know how often they're going to do that, but you have the ability to pull that out of your hat at any point in time if you're D'Amico, right? But it's clear, in man situations, you know, teams' ability to get Devontae Adams or Puka Nacua or whoever the next
coming up, Chris Godwin or Abeka Abuka.
Yeah, any of them. Any of them. Get those guys in the slot. And by, I mean, you can almost, I mean, they did it so often it was like it was taking candy from a baby. And that just simply cannot be the case in critical moments. In moments when you know you can play man or zone and you can kind of disguise and do some things, you can pressure and make them get the ball out before it becomes a problem, that's fine. But when they really zero in on and dial in on Jalen Petrie in that slot and can get their best receiver on him, the Texans have problems. And the reality of it is your offense is not going to allow you to make too many mistakes. Your offense is going to – this is going to be a – the games you win, we're going to hear, are mostly going to be one-score games. And it's going to come down to two or three plays. It's going to come down to getting that stop. And in those moments, if these quarterbacks have the ability to get their best receiver on Jalen Petrie in some kind of man situation, it's going to be disadvantaged Texans. And so I just think the – we've talked about this multiple times. I just think the – you know, the adjustment is Kamari Lassiter in the slot. I think he bumps in. I think you put Jaden Smith, the kid from USC, you put him outside, and then I think you got the best coverage unit that you can put on the field at that point in time. And truth be told, you don't lose a lot of your instincts, you don't lose your physicality when you go from Jalen Petrie to Kamari Lassiter. So I'm not saying that Jalen Petrie can't play. Jalen Petrie's going to play a lot of football here. I just think in critical situations, they're going to have to lean into Kamari Lassiter being the nickel.
However it comes, like, you just can't make it easy for guys like Baker Mayfield too. You can't make it easy where Baker Mayfield can look pre-snap and see exactly how you're lined up, and you have the dogs that you have on that side of the ball in coverage and on the D-line to get there quick. You can't just make it so easy where, all right, I know exactly where the matchup is. And Matthew Stafford, it was just easy for him pre-snap to know exactly where he wanted to go, because they could use alignment. Sean McVay could use alignment to get matchups that he wanted.
They knew that if they had a tight end or another receiver and either started him inside Puka or Devontae and moved him out, they were going to bump it. They weren't going to follow. They were going to bump it, which put Petrie on the best wide receiver. If they also, on the flip side, if they started with the really good wide receiver outside and motioned him inside, they were going to bump it, and so you end up getting Jalen Petrie on that receiver. And so, I mean, hell, they weren't just – it wasn't just Stafford. Hell, the play caller they knew exactly what they were going to get. Now, they may not have given a damn.
Yeah, it just – like, listen, the Texans defense potentially is going to be a top five defense. And the way they played Sunday does not make us waver off that at all. But a bit of it is unfair. They're going to, at the very least, early. When we're listening to you're hearing them today. They got to help their rookie OC, as the quarterback is saying. Like, they're going to have to carry this team at least early. And they just can't make those kind of mistakes that it's 3rd-and-7 on Monday, and they can easily get Chris Godwin if he plays, and Abuka if, you know, so easily in matchups that they're just going to win, and you know it.
Here's the thing is if you had to do it, if it's the only option you had, then look, they do it well, and it worked out. They gave up 14 points, so there's no complaining, right? It is a sound concept. That if you get the pressure there, if you mix him up when you're rushing Petrie versus covering him, when it's man, you can do different things. They are really good at that. So it's obviously a sound concept. It obviously is going to be their identity. I don't think it's going anywhere. I just think in critical situations, they are going to have an answer. They're going to have to shake it up. Watch what happens this week. and I don't know if it's gonna happen the whole game, but in the first quarter of this football game, watch how many times the tight end or the other receiver lines up outside. I'm sorry, inside, and motions out, which leaves either Godwin or Ibuka in the slot, or even Evans in the slot against a lesser defender, right? Or vice versa. Watch when you start the tight end and you motion the receiver inside, they're just bumping it. And they're going to try that. And any good offensive coordinator worth their salt is going to try that. They're going to try that, and if they keep doing it, they're going to go at it.
Keep doing it. Yeah.
If D'Amico's made an adjustment, then they'll make an adjustment. But they're going to try it for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Like you said, one of the great things about what they have on this defense in terms of personnel, they have the ability to be flexible with their personnel.
Oh, yeah.
To change. They don't have to be stuck.
Because the elephant in the room here is, if you just say, hey, Darius Stingley Jr., you go wherever Evans goes. That you got Evans or whoever it is. Whichever one, you can always match play. And so you can do that. You can move Kamari Lassiter to the nickel defender and bring Smith in. You can do – D'Amico has so many weapons defensively.
Yeah, he's got options.
It's going to be so fun to watch. But that is part of what they're going to have to – they're going to have to pay close attention.
It just can't be that easy.
That's right.
All right. T. Mill, baby. He's done pretty well on best bets this week, 63%. And he's going to try to win you some cash today. Did pretty well last week when it came to Thursday Night Football. Did pretty well Monday night as well. What you got on tap? Big Thursday Night Football tonight. T. Mill, what you got? T. Mill's best bets.
Yes, sir. It is winning time. It is football time. I got four bets for tonight's matchup in Green Bay between the Commanders and the Pack. First, I'm taking those points. I'm taking the Washington Commanders +3.5 tonight against the Packers in Green Bay. Like it a lot, actually. I wouldn't say it's a lock or anything, but I really like that bet for tonight. Next, I think Clint mentioned this one earlier. I'm on the under in this ball game. I teased mine up a little bit. I think it's actually set around 48, 47.5, 48.5, somewhere in there. I have under 49 in this game tonight between the Commanders and the Packers. And then two player props for you to finish things out. Both of them play for the Commanders. First, Austin Eckler, the running back, over 20.5 receiving yards. 20.5 receiving yards. That is my favorite bet of the evening. And then Jaden Daniels, the second-year quarterback for the Commanders. I'm on over 21.5 completions for young Jaden Daniels against the Packers this evening. Those are your four best bets. Boys, do you like any of those?
Yeah, the completions I definitely like. Cliff is just going to get – I mean, he's going to get them completions out. I love that. I'm wondering what the – I thought you'd have rushing numbers for Jaden Daniels. That feels like a –
I was looking at that prop.
Maybe a
tie. I can't remember what it was, but I was looking at that.
But I don't know. I like the Packers tonight, but we'll see if they're able to cover. But I like the Packers.
I like that under. That's a big number, man. I like it. Early in the season, that's a big number. Some decent defenses. I mean, decent to really good defenses. We'll see as the season goes along how they can go. But I like the under in this one. And I like both of those player props, T. I think they're both good numbers.
Hell yeah. 21-20, Packers win.
Yeah, they're doing that that running back by committee, and clearly Austin Eckler is the receiving back in this situation. So not bad. We'll see if you can win a little cash. Again, we've had a great time here. Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We will be out again tomorrow. Football Friday in Katy. Come to BB's, 406 West Grand Parkway. BB's, come on out, 2-6. You got a chance to win tickets. You got a chance to win plenty of prizes. So come hang out with us as well. Shout out to JC Allen, who covers the Bucks, who joined the show today. Texans All Access, John McClain coming up behind us. For Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. I am Ron, the show. In Houston, we love you, baby. Always seems to know the way. That's Captain Joe, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's Captain Joe. All right. Yeah, he is, man. He's
Melton back out there?
No.
Is he in Sugarland?
No, I think Melton's still up there. They're going to use him as a
pinch runner.
As a good pinch runner. Man. Yeah. Jacob Melton involved in this at all. He ain't in the game.
What did this man do to you, Clint?
Strikes out or grounds out. Grounds out to second.
Tyler Miller, you are the greatest producer in the world.